What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. We are live downtown Youngstown from Youngstown Studios in the Commerce Building. It is June 9th, 2022, or if you're immature, it is 6/9/22. So we have everything literally covered today, from stuff we usually talk about, like the Browns, the NBA, baseball, but we also have horse racing. We also have NIL. We also have golf. We have a ton of stuff covered for you, and we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to go a little bit back and forth. Before we do, I'm putting a little show together in the next couple weeks. It's going to be a fun one. I put it out there on some of the talk pages. I know the MLO bros are kind of the commissioners of those pages, but I'm going to put this out there to the public. And again, I want to preface this with saying I love the city of Youngstown. I'm a nearly lifelong resident, except for my time in college, and I lived like a year or two in Texas. However, like any city that we love, whether it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, LA, New York, whatever, every little city has its flaws or pet peeves about it. So I'm putting together a list, and I have probably 20 to 30 items on it, but I want to narrow it down to 16. And that's going to be based on voting. So I would like suggestions from you guys. You can put it on the 330 page, Youngstown Studio page, whatever, on this post, of things that kind of annoy you about Youngstown. And the more specific, the better. So for example, like, you know, if you, you know, like I used to teach at West Boulevard, and there, for whatever reason, there were Canadian geese everywhere. And that was just annoying to me. So that would be a specific example. If you drive down 224, you literally can't see enough auto zones or pet boys or whatever. That could be an annoyance. So it could be driving downtown. You hit a pothole every other, road. That could be an annoyance. So little things like that. I want to put together kind of a fun Youngstown bracket like that. So if you have any nominees, feel free to drop those in the comments. Would appreciate some input from you guys. And like I said, I got about 20 or 30 items. So maybe if the bracket gets large enough, we'll bump it up to 32. But I would like to consolidate it down to 16. All right, so let's get into this show today. Again, we're going to be all over the board, talk a lot about different things. We're going to have you covered. I'm going to also give you a lot of information if you're heading into the weekend that you can, maybe take a nugget or two with if you want to throw in a conversation here or there. So I've tried to do my research, and be a little knowledgeable about this stuff for you guys heading into the weekend. So we're going to start with the NBA Finals first and foremost. Boston last night won Game 3 of the Finals. They took that game last night 116-100. Boston outscored Golden State 23-11. Golden State only put up 11 points last night. And Boston becomes the first team in 30 or more years to have three different players go 20 plus points, 5 plus rebounds, and 5 plus assists in a series, that being Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford. So Boston takes that series 2-1 right now. Game 4 is Friday in Boston. That's a pretty big game for Golden State. Boston has taken back home court, but if Golden State can split, then the series shifts back to San Francisco the following Monday. So that's where we're at in that series. In the NHL, we already have one team that has advanced, the Colorado Avalanche, to the NHL, the Stanley Cup final. And don't say finals. If you're a big hockey fan, people will let, or if you're not a big hockey fan and you're talking to a hockey fan, they will tell you it's not the finals, it's the Stanley Cup final. So just to be specific about that. So we have the Colorado Avalanche, who swept the Edmonton Oilers. They are now in the the Stanley Cup final, which will start soon. However, the Eastern Conference finals are tied right now at two games apiece. You got the Tampa Bay Lightning, the two-time defending champs, taking on the New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden. That game is tonight. Now, this is interesting. I heard there is a Justin Bieber concert scheduled the same day as game seven in Madison Square Garden, and that's where that game would be held. So it would be really interesting to see what happens if they would have to move the game or move the concert. I'm guessing they would probably have to move the game, which is weird as it sounds. Justin Bieber might take precedence over the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference finals. So we we'll see about that. But the Lightning, so we could possibly have an S-less team, a plural-less mascot finals with the Lightning and the Avalanche. If you notice, like probably like 95% of team mascots end with an S, but the Avalanche do not, neither the Lightning. Or we could possibly have a weather final in the Stanley Cup final. So we will see, but the Rangers will have something to say about that. So that is game five is tonight. And if you don't watch hockey, I encourage you to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, because they're really entertaining. I watch 5 minutes here or there, and just, you know, really, really good stuff. High impact. These guys are, you know, skating as hard as they can, going as hard as they can for about a minute and a half, and they do these line changes, and it's pretty excellent. And even if you don't know much about the sport, it's good entertainment. So check that out if you can. All right, moving on. We don't talk a whole lot about golf on this show. I was actually I was able to go to the Memorial this past weekend in Columbus. It was awesome. Muirfield is one of the nicest courses in America, and but there has been some major news in the golf world. I mean, this is not a small thing. This would be like another league challenging, let's say, Major League Baseball, another league coming up from Europe and challenging Major League Baseball, and a lot of its players defecting to that league. That's what's happening in golf right now. So just this morning, the PGA has suspended 17 golfers. That's not something you hear a lot with golf, is suspension and golfers. But Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, Greg Norman is the CEO, Kevin Na, Luis Oosthuizen, Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, among many that have resigned from the PGA Tour to go into this, what's called, I don't know if it's called LIV, or, you know, if those are Roman numerals or whatever, but this is a Saudi-backed golf league, and there is a lot of money into this. Apparently, Tiger Woods turned down hundreds of millions of guaranteed dollars to pass this up. They've given Dustin Johnson, who is was formerly the number one player in the world, won the Masters just a few years back, gave him several hundred million dollars. Phil Mickelson is kind of the spokesperson for this. So it is a very shaky situation for the PGA Tour and this LIV Golf right now. So we will see what happens with this, but a lot of guaranteed money. Whereas if in the PGA Tour, it's kind of like you have to earn your money, you know, by winning these tournaments or, you know, making the cut and doing all this stuff. There will be a bigger purse and a smaller field in these new tournaments. And, you know, it will be very interesting to see. Apparently, even the last place, it almost reminds me of Happy Gilmore. He's like, well, how much do I get if I come in last place? And she's like, $1,400. And he's like, well, cool. Either way, I'm going to get some money. In this tournament, you're going to get guaranteed $120,000, even if you come in last place, you know, and with very big purses coming up. So very interesting there. So that's the news from the world of golf, which will continue to change as we speak. Going to baseball, we have the Cleveland Guardians that are now back to 500. They are sitting at 26-26. You know, we're struggling there for a while, but they do have a pretty tough schedule coming up here. They should be able to compete pretty well with Oakland and Colorado, but then they got the Dodgers, and then they have the AL Central leading Minnesota Twins for what, like seven games. you know, in the next stretch here. You also got the Red Sox in there. And so should be very interesting as they close out the month of June. But the Guardians playing pretty well right now. Pitching has come a lot, you know, come around, been a lot better. The bats, you know, still a little bit hit and miss, but the bats are becoming a little bit more consistent. So we'll see what the Guardians can do. But right now, sitting at 26-26, they are in second place in the AL Central behind those Minnesota Twins and just slightly ahead of the Chicago White Sox. I want to do our little tip of the cap, wag of the finger segment here. We have a tip of the cap this past weekend to Rafael Nadal. Listen to these stats. Now, again, you don't have to follow tennis. You don't have to even like tennis to appreciate this. He has won the last 14 French Open titles. The last 14. He is 112-3 in those matches at the French Open in his career. That is his 22nd major title, which is the most ever in men's tennis history, and only one behind Serena Williams, who has the most overall for any tennis athlete, male or female, at 23. And he hinted he's 36 years old. This could be his last time at Roland Garros, so we'll see. But, you know, tip of the cap to Rafael Nadal, because he is just simply the best at what he does, especially on those clay courts. And let's switch it over to wag of the finger. Now, if you have not heard this story, it's been in the news for about a week or 10 days or so, but Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson. So Tommy Pham is an outfielder for the Cincinnati Reds. Jock Peterson is an outfielder for the San Francisco Giants. We all know Mike Trout. He is the center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels. And he all comes into play. This deals with fantasy football, even though they're baseball players. So apparently about a week and a half ago, Tommy Pham just came up before the game. They were talking and he just straight up slapped, like Will Smith style, slapped Jock Peterson across the face. The team's like, and this is in the warm-up before the game, an hour, hour and a half before the game, you know, both teams emptied their benches, at least the players that were out there. And, you know, Pham got a 3-game suspension for this. And you might say, well, what triggered this? Well, it was fantasy football. Fantasy football. There was a $10,000 buy-in. You know, I'm in a couple leagues where the buy-in's $100 or, you know, $75, whatever it might be. You know, $10,000 is a significant chunk of change. However, Tommy Pham's salary is about $7 million a year. I'm not sure what Jock Peterson makes, but I'm guessing it's north of that. So there was a dispute over the injured reserve list in these fantasy football leagues. And Mike Trout is the commissioner of that league. And it's just a funny situation to see grown men fighting over fantasy football. And it triggered a 3-game suspension for Tommy Pham, and he didn't dispute the suspension. He took it. And so I don't know how the Cincinnati Reds feel about one of their starting outfielders getting suspended for 3 games because of a fantasy football dispute. Pretty interesting stuff right there. One of the more interesting stories in the sports world this year. Now switching to NFL football, we're going to go tip of the hat to these two Los Angeles Rams. Aaron Donald, who's arguably the best player in the NFL, especially non-quarterback, becomes, and last week he threw around the idea of maybe hinting at retirement. You know, I don't necessarily need to do this. I just want a Super Bowl. I'm not even 30, or I'm not even like in my mid-30s yet. So he is a 31-year-old defensive lineman. He's actually from the University of Pittsburgh. Just signed the richest deal in football by a non-quarterback. 3 years, $95 million. He is a 7-time All-Pro player. And again, just won a Super Bowl with the LA Rams. So congratulations there, and Donald. We're also going to go tip of the hat to his teammate, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, who... interesting fact about Cooper Kupp, his college career was ended by the Youngstown State Penguins. He played for the university, for Eastern Washington University, and YSU played them in the playoffs five, six, 7 years ago. And Cooper Kupp was on that team, and YSU knocked him and his team out. But The LA Rams wide receiver gets the most guaranteed money ever to a wide receiver. 3 years, $80 million, and $75 million of that is guaranteed. Last year, and here's why he maybe deserves some of that money, 145 receptions, 1,947 yards receiving, 16 touchdowns. That is the triple crown for a wide receiver in the NFL. And he was named the Super Bowl MVP, scoring two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. So well-deserved. Cooper Kupp, the highest paid receiver, at least by guaranteed money now in the NFL. So congratulations to him. Now let's go to the opposite side. We're going to celebrate infamous, whatever you want to say, a former anniversary in Cleveland history. That was not our most famous moment, 10 Cent Beer Night. So 10 Cent Beer Night happened June 4th, 1974. So just less than a week ago. And ironically, the Texas Rangers were just in Cleveland. That is who they were playing when this happened. But the Rangers, the Indians, it did not go well. Let's just say that. So 10 cent beer night, which if you factor in inflation, that's roughly about 57 cents for a beer today. So you would imagine the line at, what's a beer at a stadium? $8 to $12. So could you imagine the line at a stadium right now for 57 cent beers? That's what this would be equivalent to back in 1974. So, there was a lot of, chirping from the stands. There was a couple streakers, which you'll have. And back in the 70s, that was a little bit more commonplace than it is today. But what happened, apparently in the ninth inning, a fan rushed on the field and tried to steal one of the players for the Texas Rangers hats. And the player for the Rangers kind of got in an altercation. Billy Martin was one of the Rangers players and was really riling up the Cleveland fans. And, it was just a really interesting, but the Rangers apparently thought that this fan was trying to accost this player. So the Rangers and the manager said, take your bats, get out there and go defend him. And to the Indians' credit, their players went out and did the same. But if you look at some of these pictures, people were bloodied, people were bruised. I could not imagine something like this even happening today. But 57 cents today for a beer, which was 10 cents back in 1974, which is just insane. And they had several more of these promotions on the calendar and they couldn't walk it back. So what they did was limit it to four beers per person. So apparently people were the only limitations, Joe, on this were you can only buy six beers at a time. So I guess even back then there was no limits on how old you could be to serve. So they said there was these two high school girls or college girls that weren't 21 yet. They were serving beer and the line was so, and people are drinking, the line was crazy that they just straight up and left. But apparently there's legends of people taking the actual kegs back to them with their seats and just drinking straight from the kegs. So a very infamous night. The bases were all stolen after the game was called, which ultimately led to an Indians forfeit. And the game, by the way, was 5-5 in the ninth inning. So it wasn't like it was the Indians were getting blown out or something. It was 5-5 and the umpire called it. So very interesting stuff. I think on a future show, we'll probably dive deep into that 1974 night on June 4th, back for 10 cent beer night. So
we're gonna have something in studio to get us all kind of hammered, like a shot every slide that you bring in.
Oh boy, people are gonna get wasted. It'll be a lot more drunk than 10 cent beer night, I'll tell you that much. I'm gonna give one more wag of the finger here to Cleveland Browns fans, and I am one of them. And for the record, if you can see this picture, if you're watching online, I would be the person sitting in the chair eating the popcorn because Browns fans are going at each other. There's the Baker Bros. There's people defending Deshaun Watson. There's people attacking Deshaun Watson. There's people saying, I'm done with the Browns, whatever, this and that. And to me, I'm the person eating popcorn. And I try to have been trying to actually be off social media a little bit more over the past few weeks, especially, you know, again, whatever you think of the Deshaun Watson stuff is your business and is your right. And it's a very contentious, very slippery slope, let's just say. So I'm avoiding talking about that because one, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to take the easy way. I'm just saying, I don't know all the information. What I have seen and what I have heard is not the prettiest. And obviously, I am no lawyer, doesn't look good, but I will say, you know, Deshaun Watson should be suspended. I don't know what that number should be, but again, it's not my right. It's not my say. I think he will be suspended. I don't know for how long, but I think a lot of this information that kind of trickles out, you know, there's news to both lawyers. Both lawyers are going to put out some good Deshaun Watson statements, and then they're going to come back with some scathing things. So again, whichever side of the fence you're on, this is a very delicate situation, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. So you want to chip in with anything, or
snarky stuff, but I want to get myself in trouble.
I hear you. So that's why I'm saying, like, with that picture, Browns fans are going at each other, and you know, it's just frustrating because this team has so much potential and could be so good. And you know, Kevin Stefanski is the perfect head coach for this because he gets questions every day about this, and another coach would get real contentious and heated. He's very calm, very soothing voice. We're just going to, with respect to that situation, we're just going to let the legal proceedings play out, you know, things like that. And
can I hit you with these questions? Because it's what we're all thinking. I'm going to give you three hypotheticals.
Oh boy.
You tell me what happens. One, he gets suspended for the full season.
Okay.
Who's your quarterback?
Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. He gets suspended for 6 games. Who's your quarterback?
Jacoby Brissett.
Never mind. That was not as contentious as I thought it was going to be.
No.
There's no Baker in
here. Oh, God. No. The Baker, you know, the Baker train is gone. It has left the station. He's actually been excused from mandatory minicamp. So I actually think, despite what a lot of people say, I think there's a market out there for Baker Mayfield, and the Browns will trade him. You know, you and I both thought draft night or the draft weekend it was going to happen, and apparently it was close, but they couldn't agree on the money. So we'll see. But
if they're not able to unload him and he's still technically on the roster, what the heck do you do with him? Do you cut him, or do you?
I would just eat his contract and make him ineligible. You know, that because if you cut them, you're still paying that money and it's still dead cap. Or if you, you know, if you keep them on the roster, there's a chance. I don't want to wish injury on another quarterback, so I'm not going to say another quarterback's name. But if, you know, hypothetically, if a quarterback goes down in the NFC, then they might be a contender.
I see.
You got yourself a trade piece right there that you could throw and maybe
without causing a roster spot to be taken.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So you're allowed 53 on your active roster. I believe you dress like 47 for games, and then you have X amount of roster spots available for like a practice squad. But with the Browns, I think they can, now that the draft has passed, free agency is mostly done. There's going to be that couple week break, 5-6 weeks here in the summer where there's not a whole lot of action in the NFL. And I think that's where you'll see things like probably die down a little bit from a Deshaun Watson perspective, from a Baker Mayfield, from the Browns, and really just the NFL as a whole. It's like kind of really the only time the NFL takes a big breath, is except maybe after, you know, the Super Bowl before the draft. Long story short, I think they're going to keep Baker on the roster as a trade asset and see what they can get for them. But I don't think they're going to get much for him, but it's still better than nothing. And you're going to have to eat that contract anyway. So if you can trade him, you know, in training camp, you can maybe work out a deal where $10 million comes off your books instead of, you know, whatever it might be. So there's a lot of interesting decisions to be made. But again, those people are smarter than me and they know what they're doing. And but either way, you're going to lose money on the deal. So it's like, just suck it up. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would say, just cut them and be done with it. And that's how I was thinking too. But, you know, the ship has sailed. He's not coming back to the Browns. He's not coming back to Berea. If Deshaun Watson got cut for the whole year, they'll play it out with Jacoby Brissett or Josh Dobbs or whoever. You know, they might have something else up their sleeve.
If we have Brissett for the whole year, I'm not familiar enough to know that if this guy's like a quality backup.
He's a quality backup. He's not someone I would want to play the whole season with. But if he has to play 8 games, I would be comfortable with that. He was the quarterback that replaced Andrew Luck when he like suddenly retired from the league. And he's, you know, played some valuable time with the Colts, he backed up Tom Brady for a little while in New England last year with Miami. So he has good experience. And I think even Peter King, who's a real big NFL guy, called him arguably the best backup in the league. Now, again, if you're the best backup in the league, does that mean you're the 33rd best quarterback in the league too? You know, so, right. So again, we'll see how it plays out. But, if the suspension is more than 8 games, I don't like the Browns' chances of making the playoffs. If the suspension is 8 games or less, I feel a lot better about that, especially with the way the first 4 games, the schedule makers kind of seem to do the Browns a favor. But all this news is news to us. It's news to probably some reporters, but I don't think it's news to the NFL or news to the Cleveland Browns, because again, a lot of people will say, well, they said they did their due diligence, did they? Well, I'm sure they did. And I'm sure they didn't know all the information, but I'm sure Watson's lawyer and I'm sure the plaintiff's lawyers knew what was happening, and maybe they dropped some information and some bombs in there when they feel, you know, maybe it's a slow media day. Hey, let's get this attention, you know, and you hate to use it like that. And you know, these are people involved. And again, I have sympathy for the victims. And again, I do believe in innocent until proven guilty, but in our social media world, it's very, very different. The court of public opinion will make you guilty before, you know, at least, or it's kind of like everything else right now. 50% think this way, 50% think this way. And that's, they're combative and they're going to go at it. So that's why I'm trying to be the maybe half of 1% that like steps back and says, I'm just going to let this play out. I'm not going to make a judgment. And again, I know Deshaun Watson isn't clean in all this. He's definitely done some things that he's probably, you know, definitely should be punished for. But what is the proper suspension? Only, you know, I think there's an arbiter in there. It's not necessarily just Roger Goodell, but we'll see how that all plays out. So,
all right,
turn the page. So moving on. Back to something a little bit more positive. Another quarterback in the state of Ohio, but this time the Ohio State quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Now, Joe, question for you. If you were one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football, would you rather receive, let me present it this way. Would you rather receive a $150,000 Bentley as your name, image, and likeness deal, or would you rather receive $100,000 cash?
$100,000 cash.
I think so too. Now, a Bentley, it's a pretty nice ride. It's a pretty nice ride. I, you know, we don't see a whole lot driving around these parts, but, you know, you'll see a few here and there. Now, when I head down to Florida and certain parts of Florida, I mean, there's people rolling in these things, and they are beautiful, beautiful machines. Now, CJ Stroud, the quarterback for the Buckeyes, just received $150,000 Bentley from, I'm guessing, a Bentley dealer down in Columbus. But you know, that was very, very interesting to me. And you know, he has other endorsements with Outback, with Express. So I was just curious your take on that. If you,
so
would...
I consider like a Bentley, you know, a high roller car, a lifestyle car. Now, do you think at a college age that he's living a baller lifestyle already, where that would line up pretty
that's
well?
That's a really, really good question. And I'm guessing CJ Stroud is in the neighborhood of 21 years old.
Yeah.
So
like if you're living in mom's basement and you're playing on Nintendo in your spare time and you have a Bentley, I mean, that doesn't line up.
No, it does not. However, Stroud is from LA. Okay. He's from LA. So he's kind of maybe got that California vibe to him. If you ever see him, he's kind of a chill guy, but comes to Columbus. Columbus is a pretty big city. I think it's like 17th or 18th biggest city in America. And, you know, these college kids can live in some nice places. He's not living in a dorm room. He's not living in his friend's basement.
What is CJ Stroud's net worth?
Oh boy. We'll see.
Here's what I found.
All right. Let's
so
what's your guess?
I would guess close to $1 million. What do you,
I'm looking.
Okay.
They're not making it easy.
Now, these deals might not be easy to find and look up how much. I don't know if they have to disclose the amount, but I'm sure some of these companies want to make it known, you know, that their brand is out there, and they'll, you know, for these high profile athletes, they'll make it worth it. So
$2 million.
$2 million for the Ohio State quarterback who arguably will be the number one pick in the draft.
He was born in 2001. $2 million. Dollars.
Not a bad deal there. Nope. Not a bad deal. So if you're a quarterback looking to get to the NFL, now I know we've talked about the bumps in the road Ohio State quarterbacks have taken, but pretty nice place to get to right now if you're a Buckeye quarterback. So Stroud is there. You got a few guys behind him ready to roll too. And some other guys that aren't even in college right now that are planning on going this route. Now, I think NIL will eventually kind of figure itself out. But right now, it's the, you know, I like to say it's the wild, wild west. There's no real regulations on it. So
it's the NFTs of football.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. And non-fungible token. Is that what that's?
Non-fungible token.
Okay. So explain to people what that means. if you can. If you can put that into like a 15-second frame.
My goodness. So it's using cryptocurrency to prove ownership of a digital something. So
okay.
A picture, something that's in digital. Mm-hmm. It proves that you own it.
Okay. Okay. So what Joe said. I want to give another tip of the cap to a former Cleveland athlete who is now playing for the New York Mets. He was in the Francisco Lindor trade, but Cookie Carrasco, a lot of people might remember him. He pitched for the Indians for many, many years. This was just a really cool story, and I wanted to share this. So Carrasco has been pitching in the major leagues for 11 seasons, many of those with the Indians. They actually acquired him in the Cliff Lee trade way back in like 2007 or 8. But now this 35-year-old had never pitched in a Major League Baseball game in front of his father until last week. So Luis Carrasco, the father of Carlos Carrasco, was from Colombia and just so emotional, so thrilled. And Carrasco is, you know, obviously had his health battles in his final years with the Indians, you know, battling, I believe it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, but, you know, obviously has recovered from that, but is now one of the major league leaders in wins with 7. So tip of the cap to Carlos Carrasco and his dad, just a really, really cool baseball story. And one more tip of the cap to the baseball gods. This is an amazing story. So Brian Servin of the Colorado Rockies and his family. I don't know Brian Servin. I don't know his status, but in his first major league at bat, in the very first pitch he saw, swung, fouled off the first pitch. Where did the ball land? In the hands of his family. Okay. One of the family members caught it. How cool is that story? Just very, very, very neat. So I thought that was really interesting and worth a share. One more Major League Baseball note here. The LA Angels things aren't going well for them. Not at all. So they started out the season 24-13. Pretty darn good. They are currently 27-31. They have lost 14 games in a row. They fired their manager, Joe Maddon. Mike Trout, their best player, the former three-time MVP, left the game two nights ago, injured, and their pets' heads are falling off, just like in Dumb and Dumber. So I had to throw that in there. But a very, very tough change of events for the Los Angeles Angels. Now, Joe, I don't know if you saw this story, but if you're an owner in the National Football League, or really of any franchise in professional sports, you had to have loved this deal. So we all know Walmart. Rob Walton will be the new primary owner of the Denver Broncos. That franchise was just sold yesterday for a record $4.65 billion. By the way, that 0.65 stands for $650 million. So, you know, just that alone would be a lot. But this is the most money ever spent on a North American franchise. So the next team that comes up, that's only going to bump that value up. So I've heard rumors of the Washington now Commanders being up for sale in the near future. So, you know, that team could go upwards of $5 million or whatever it might be. But any of these NFL franchises or big name franchises are going to be for sale to the highest bidder. And basically, if you own an NFL franchise, from what I understand, it's like printing money. So it is a large NFT right there. So
so they profit, not revenue, profit is $500 million per year.
On an NFL franchise. Yep. Wow.
$500 million.
That just shows you how much those TV deals are worth and just incredible, incredible assets to have. And some of these people that own these teams, you know, I'm sure love the team, eventually love the city, but some of them probably have no stake whatsoever, but it's just a commodity for them. And, you know, they're going to turn that over. Exactly. Exactly. I also want to give one more tip of the cap to someone I've met several times, but it is his 83rd birthday. If you know him in the sports world, Mr. Dick Vitale, Dickie V, a former coach for the Detroit Pistons, University of Detroit Mercy. He is a current broadcaster at ESPN. He battled and beat cancer this past year. This past year at his fundraiser down in Sarasota, which I'm lucky to attend every year, raised $11.1 million in one night at his 2022 gala. And he has raised over $55 million for pediatric cancer research in his life. And just an awesome thing what he's doing, because some of our former guests, Keith and Michelle Edenfield, their daughter unfortunately passed away from pediatric cancer. And they were telling me that only 4% of all money is allocated towards pediatric cancer. So that's why, you know, what Dick Vitale does, what so many other people do to raise funds for this, you know, this awful disease is worth, you know, looking into. So hats off to Dickie V, tip of the cap to you. I also want to give one more tip of the cap here to, we're coming up on the Belmont Stakes this weekend, which is the final leg of the Triple Crown. And today is actually the anniversary of Secretariat winning the Triple Crown. To win the Triple Crown, again, that's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. So this is the 49th anniversary of that feat. And the horse, Secretariat, won the Belmont by 31 lengths, which is incredible. Is he the greatest horse to ever race? That's debatable. It's hard to compare a horse from the 70s or 60s to now. After this horse passed away, it lived to be 19 years old. During the autopsy, this was very interesting. The medical examiner found that this horse's heart was twice as big as the average horse. So I don't know if that, you know, would give it more capacity to race or whatever, but I thought that was a really interesting thing as I read that on Secretariat. So if you've never seen, there's a great Disney movie attributed to Secretariat, but, you know, I'm not in the camp of, you know, I think horses are some of the most amazing creatures out there. I wouldn't necessarily call them the athlete, even though they're doing the work. But, you know, you could argue Secretariat is the greatest in the greatest athlete world, if you want to put animals in that. But I don't consider animals athletes, but I do consider it an amazing, amazing athletic feat. So
I don't know, you put the horse against Usain Bolt and I'm going with the horse.
Oh yeah, all day. Not even close. Not even close. Joe, I gotta show you this. Okay. Tip of the cap to whoever put this together. How to find Kentucky on a map. So what you're doing, you're taking Minnesota as the top hat, the chef's hat. You're taking Iowa. I'm testing my geography, by the way, as the face, color of the face, you know, whatever color you want to color it. Missouri will be the shirt. You take Arkansas as the pants, and you take Louisiana as the boot. And then you got what? Tennessee there as the pan. And then Kentucky Fried Chicken goes right on that pan. So how to find Kentucky on a map. I don't know how someone came up with this, but I saw it on the internet and I'm like, holy shit, I'm sharing that. That is too good not to share. So very good tip of the cap. So basically, again, let me go through it real quick. Go through Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, and then Tennessee and Kentucky. Color those in whatever colors you want. And you know, just have a little fun with it. So if anyone else comes up with something good like that, share it out with me because I would love to see it. And a couple more things. This one's non-sports related, but I think we're literally in some of the best age of TV and movies right now. I'm currently watching Stranger Things 4. I think I have two more episodes of the first half of that series to go. It is, to me, this is the best at least half of the series since the first season. It is amazing. No spoilers, but it is fantastic. So if you have not seen Stranger Things, it's not overly scary. It's not overly, you know, there's not too much cussing or anything like that. So it's really a series that kind of can go for anybody. If you're into sci-fi, if you love the 80s, this is the series for you. Highly, highly recommend. Better Call Saul, another great show out there. It is the prequel to Breaking Bad, so highly recommend that show. Winning Time, another show that kind of mostly takes place in the 80s. It is the rise of the Los Angeles Lakers dynasty. It is raunchy. It is hilarious. It is well shot. It's a great, great show. Highly recommend that. If you have not seen Ozark, Ozark just ended its series and its run, but a fantastic show. If you liked Ozark and you liked Ruth from Ozark, Inventing Anna is a fantastic show. It is inspired by a true story, and this girl is basically just a straight-up hustler, and it's really good. Yellow Jackets, can't recommend that enough. That's on Showtime. Yellowstone, Joe, I know you got into Yellowstone recently. It is one of the best shows on TV. There's a prequel to that, 1883. And I think there's another prequel spinoff coming out soon enough as well. House of the Dragon is coming out on HBO, I believe in August. That is a prequel to Game of Thrones. Westworld, if you've never seen Westworld, it's a little weird. It's a little out there, but it's really, really cool. I think it needs a bounce back season, but it's a quality, quality show. And then two movies, obviously. I still have not seen the Top Gun Maverick movie, but everyone I have talked to says, go see it in IMAX, go see it on the biggest screen, best speakers possible. It is fantastic. It's worth the whatever it costs you to get in the movie theater. And then this weekend, I mean, everybody likes Jurassic Park, I think, at least a little bit. Everybody has a little bit of kid in them when they think of dinosaurs and hear dinosaurs. To me, it's just a good, entertaining hour and a half, 2 hours. So Jurassic Park comes out this weekend. So those are some of my golden age of TV. Joe, are you watching or anything interest you in the TV world? I know Yellowstone.
Yeah, so I just started watching that show, Billions. And it's a little like, right. if you... if you fear that corporate America is terrible, then this is going to give you everything. All the red meat that you could ever ask for.
Yeah.
It is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I find myself when I get behind in a show and there's like six seasons to get through, mm-hmm. it's almost like I don't want to start it because that's an investment.
There. Oh, no doubt. I right now am rewatching, like right now I'm taking a little bit of a break because I'm in between a season, but The Sopranos has six seasons and the last season was broken up into two parts. So it's almost like seven seasons. So I'm through five seasons of that, but I needed to take like a little breather. So right now I'm watching Stranger Things. Once I finish that, I'll get back to The Sopranos. But The Sopranos, my God, that might be, I have to put that up there in the top five shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, Stranger Things, I mean, it caught on and it's cool because it's different than anything else. And I don't care about spoilers. In this season, it was all a dream the whole time. So sorry about that, guys. Sorry for spoilers. But anyway, I only got through season one. So yeah. I'm way behind.
Anyway. No, that's okay. No, let me ask you this. Yeah. So would you prefer, now I know, you know, you'd rather be spending your time off doing something else. And I agree. I'm the same way. Usually like an hour, I try to usually, if I'm not watching the game or something, I'm trying to like, you know, spend a little, like an hour on a weeknight watching something and then I'll go to bed or whatever. But would you rather something like Netflix, how they drop all their shows at once and you can binge watch them? Would you rather have that? Or would you rather have it one episode a week, like Yellowstone, where it comes out on each Sunday?
Well, I like that they drop all because I only watch a half hour a show per day.
Okay.
So that if I like, if I'm already caught up, then what am I going to do tomorrow? And I have to start another show and whatever.
That's
so
a good point.
I won't ever binge because I just don't have enough time to
do
it.
That's a good
point. But...
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. Yeah. I think when, because I tend to listen to like some companion podcasts and things like that go along with it. So I like the idea of once a week and then you kind of like it builds up and gives you something to look for. So that's just how I feel. But
it's
either way
for me though, like if I have an hour show that I'm watching, I can't watch even a full show in one day.
Well, I get it because you're stir crazy. Like, I mean, that's the only time I feel like I can relax. And like when I'm like focused on something, put my phone down, don't even look at it, you know, and then finally I can just sit back and not think about anything for an hour. That's just the way my brain works. But I know the wheels are always turning and you're on to the next thing. That's so it. I get it. All right. Well, thanks to Joe. I'm Justin. We will be back next week for more stuff. So appreciate you guys watching and make sure to give Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show a follow on social media. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate